going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's McCafe. Get over there ASAP. Fill your belly up with a $1 coffee.
Any size. Any size.
It's crazy. Why would you not choose the biggest size you can get?
Maybe you don't want that much coffee.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
That's an interesting question there.
Like, how many times do you think people choose a less than the biggest I can get?
I often ask a similar question. What kind of self-esteem issues must you have to be in the drugstore and be like, yeah, I'm not going to get the maximum strength.
Right.
Get regular strength.
I don't need my
same price.
Yes,
get the
I do.
Extra strength.
I would say it's people that are self-aware. People that say, you know, if I get this giant cup of coffee, I am going to drink it all. And I will not fall asleep until 3 in the morning because caffeine affects me in that manner. And I am one of those folks. So sometimes
we're
I will
gluttons.
Get.
We're gluttons. What country do you think you're
will,
in here, Matt?
I will get the, listen, I'll get the medium coffee. If the kids don't clean their plate and there's still some mac and cheese or mashed potatoes, I'll say, that's fine. If you're full, you go ahead and throw that food away. I'm not going to make you stuff yourself because I'm a responsible parent.
All right, I'm a responsible host of a program that's devoted to the game of pro football and, sure, the game of life.
You are responsible, Shaq.
It's title weekend. It's here, everybody. Here's the sad thing. I want to say this right up front. I don't mean to bum everybody out, but we only have 3 football games left.
Yeah.
And then it's over. Then what am I supposed to do with myself? Watch baseball? I guess wait for Game of Thrones?
Well, the good news is we have the Combine, which begins, and it's moved back a couple weeks. So now we've got that in March, which is something that –
I didn't know it was in March.
Yes, they moved it back. So they moved that back to March. You're here in Los Angeles, so why don't you snatch up those little grommets of yours and head over to Pauley Pavilion and watch the most exciting darn basketball team we've seen in a long time in college basketball with Lonzo Ball and company there at Pauley Pavilion. Tickets readily available. You could fill that void there.
On AM 570, as coincidence would have it. Matt Harmon's here. Here's what I suggest everybody do in front of the title games, 11 a.m. Eastern time. Your pal Dave, once again, eternal red zone. It's the championship round edition here. The wild card round edition, the divisional round have already aired and they're through. But now NFL Network, 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, followed up.
Dave, can you explain what that is to me? I don't know if I understand it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess you've been living in a cave, handsome.
I guess,
Hank,
I have under a rock.
Been, you know how red zone works. Well, yeah. This is how we prep you for the round of action upcoming is we take the greatest moments from, let's say, championship round weekend, and we pretend as though the game's all kicked off at the exact same time. Ooh. And we give them the red zone treatment. Oh, it's gangbusters.
That's a great idea.
Unless you're the Browns. It doesn't work out well, especially
not
in
a lot
the
going
mid
there.
To late 80s. Yeah. It's kind of sad for them.
Or if you're Raheem Moore, then chances are you're probably not
that's
looking
divisional
forward to
round.
It. Oh, that he was already, divisional
yeah,
round.
He already,
so you already ran that last week.
He already took a look at that
you already
one.
You already got your eyes on
and
that
And then,
one.
By the way, at 11:30 a.m. Eastern, also 8:30 Eastern a.m. Eastern, and then 1:30 a.m. really Sunday morning, NFL Pick'em with – Handsome Hank.
I was in there, wasn't I?
Yeah. Ike Taylor is on board for this one.
Cynthia
Freeland, the Around the NFL Heroes, and the Move the Stick Scouts all weighing in on who's going to win these two title games. So tune in. Like I say, the big one, 11 a.m. Eastern. Do
your. It's a lot of Sheck.
Are they calling it the Dameshek
Hour? An awful lot of Sheck.
Lousy with juice.
Especially if you're going that 11 that 11 to noon right there. Yeah. Boy, that is a lot of Dave Dameshek on the channel.
And usually less is more. All right, let's get into the hurry up here, shall we? And start it off with. Always, though, handsome? Is it always less is more with
Oh,
me?
I didn't think you caught me saying that.
No, I heard you.
No, I mean, I think you're right.
Always. You don't like when we go out for a nice dinner?
I do.
Out on the town? Is that too much, Dave?
But I do like it, but I like it when it's diluted by other people as well, not just us.
Hey, we're jumping into it here.
I mean, really?
But by the way, does everybody
respect you?
There he is,
handsome there it
Hank.
Is.
He doesn't respect me, apparently, and yet I'm going to say it. Happy birthday to Handsome Hank.
Oh. Happy birthday today?
Happy birthday.
Guess how old he is now.
I'm going to go 50. Well, I can see the gray on the sideburns there.
Yeah. 50, really?
No,
I'm
not
way.
50.
No way.
No. Thank you.
I'm going to go, this is the big 40.
It is.
Yeah, there we go.
Tomorrow.
There we go.
40
Happy
years
40.
Of age. Handsome Hank, British celebrity.
Yep.
I genuinely didn't see it coming.
You know what you do on your 40th birthday, right?
Nope.
You've got to pound a fifth of Mad Dog 2020 and eat a massive piece of prime rib at Lowry's.
Is that what you
And then
did?
You throw up in the parking lot and pass out at the corner of La Brea and Wilshire.
Is that what you did?
That's
I'm still youthful. That's number's just an age. Age is just a number. I can still puke in a parking lot on cheap booze.
Right. Yeah, that's 40.
Congratulations to you.
Yeah. Welcome to the Handsome Hank Gridiron Pod Program, presented by Strawberries and Confetti. All right, let's get to the hurry up here, shall we?
I think he does need a pipe. I think we need to get him a
I'll
pipe.
I'll get a pipe.
You know?
Yeah. It's a good look.
A two-billed hat and a pipe.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
We'll do proper hellos in a moment. Best quarterback Final Four of all time. We were talking about it yesterday. Producer behind the glass, Ryan Bartlett, floated the idea.
I looked at this.
What?
I was giggling when I looked. As you go through, and you're like, oh, that's a potential. Okay. Yep. And then all of a sudden, we get to 97 and 01, and somehow a Final Four with freaking Cordell Stewart. With Cordell Stewart involved is supposed to be some sort of contender. Right below it, you have Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, and Jim Kelly.
I didn't know. There's a
then
piece of paper
Cordell
here.
Cordell Stewart involved in this.
This was put together entirely
by you.
Producer Ryan Bartlett.
You suck up, Bartlett.
Would I bring?
I don't believe
I would float 2001, please. I would not. I was at the game in 2001. I watched Cordell Stewart throw three atrocious second half picks. You think I would list Cordell here? Come on.
Well, yeah,
Not only once, but twice.
He made this list for us to consider.
Now, may I continue, please?
Sure.
Please go ahead.
Ryan Bartlett behind the glass threw at me that he feels that this is possibly the greatest Final Four of QBs ever. I disagree. However, I am addressing the QB legacies on Game Day Morning on Sunday, so please check out that.
More check. TV.
However, like I say, there we go. See? Some people, handsome, are cool with
it. I am, too.
I think that this is a strong one. Matt Harmon, I start with you. Is this the best you've ever seen?
Well, obviously, I have to cross out everything from 1993 to below because I don't remember any of that madness.
That's too bad.
Let's cross out the two Stewart years. So now we're only at 2000.
I've never heard of any of these people is what Harmon
said. No. I've heard of them, but I've never seen them play football live, so I'm not going to consider that.
Okay.
So just 2007 to 2015.
That is slim pickings
for you. That's slim pickings.
You might want to reconsider your relationship with history.
You can probably take 2009 out of that because Mark Sanchez.
I was
going to
say 2009. I feel like would be the best contender. You got Favre, Manning, Breeden, and Mark Sanchez. Yeah.
That's a bummer when you get to the end there. Yeah. Come on, anchor.
I think 2014 is actually a pretty good rival. I mean,
probably not a top three. I mean, I get that you're kind about not.
I really do
talking
think,
about ones that you didn't see.
Right. I don't want to be. It's not that I disrespect history. I just I don't want to be disingenuous and give an opinion on Boomer Esiason, who I'm much more familiar with his
as
television
a broadcaster.
Work.
Yes.
I'll tell you this though. I think that with this quarterback group, you know, Antonio Brown. I have found this storyline that has continued on through title week. Nauseating already. I know it's significant to the Steelers locker room, but trying to extend it into the Patriots locker room and that it's bulletin board material for New England and so on, I think is foolish.
Well, it's never bulletin board material. It's the AFC championship game. There is no such thing as bulletin board material. However,
now they want to win the Patriots after hearing Cordell after
however,
hearing Antonio Brown's.
I will say it does seem like there has been enough former player outrage. And I don't think it was that it was, you know, Mike Tomlin's vulgarity that was leaked or calling them, you know, the a-hole word. I think it was that he's smiling and dancing. I think that's what really upset the players.
Betrayal.
I think
like the idea that
Tomlin is plainly angry.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's more – I think it's exactly what you're saying, but I think it's also there are very few moments probably these days for an NFL team that are behind
to be private,
closed doors.
Yes.
And there is a 10-minute window when they get in back in that locker room before the doors open to the media that in theory should be just
theirs
for the
players
alone,
and
for the coaches.
So in other words, it should be top secret.
I don't know about top secret, but it's actually – Ike made a great point where it's like he liked to be able to sit with his buddies who they just played a game, they just won a big game, and say, hey, you did a great job there, and sort of keep that moment to themselves.
I agree with that, and that's plainly the sentiment, not just of old-timers, but, like you say, Ike told that little tale nicely about the moments that you have. It's more like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's 10 minutes that they get. Either way, I'm tired of that story.
Okay.
And I really do think that while I'm aware that 52 other guys are on the four teams, This is the QB. The QB legacies. I can't remember a year where the legacies have loomed so large, positively and negatively. What they could, if Matt Ryan wins, he's a Hall of Famer. Almost, right?
Not,
he's
going to
be the MVP.
Game.
Yeah, I don't
not
know.
This game, but if he wins the Super
Here's
Bowl.
Here's the thing, though.
It's interesting for him. Roethlisberger vaults from being a Hall
Just
of Famer.
Just hold on. Before you go to Roethlisberger on the Matt Ryan thing, here's the one, I think, problem that we have with our reaction in the moment is we forget that as we are removed from this moment, they're going to look back, and when they're deciding on the Hall of Fame, they're going to say, listen, the rules made it a passing league. We have Matt Schaub, who had a 5,000-yard passing season. So all of these statistics that you are now putting in front of us aren't necessarily – I mean, we just had Tim Raines go into the Hall of Fame, right? I mean, when we – you know, we're old enough. I don't mean to do that to you, Matt, and plus you don't like baseball anyway.
I'll just leave.
But you know, we're old enough to remember Tim Raines was it, man. I mean, Tim Raines and Andre Dawson and those Expo teams were it, but they get to this moment where they're 30 years later and they're like – 280. Mm-hmm. That's the only amount of home runs, and you just it when it's removed from the context of the moment, it just for whatever reason these players are viewed differently.
I
wonder if that's going to plague Matt Ryan.
It's the other way around almost though for me that you know like Steve Garvey and Dave Parker should
right.
be in the Hall
no
of Fame
brainers.
Because they were dominant, and yet their numbers just are
right.
dwarfed by you know Brady Anderson and so on. I think. That wide receivers like Cliff Branch are suffering because they're not
guys are posted 2,000-yard seasons.
Right.
You know, guys like Lynn Swann are lucky they got in under the wire before people sort of this perceived higher standard was laid out. But Matt Ryan, though, distances himself from other guys because I think he's going to have an MVP, and if he has a Super Bowl crown as well, I think he gets close.
But that win percentage isn't great.
Yeah.
The playoff record won't be great. He'll need one more.
I was going to say, he would need to add another season, not quite like this one, but in the ballpark.
In the yeah. right. Another NFC Central. Championship game at
Which
least.
He can do. I mean, he's not ancient.
I also think Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl. He now, as I have foretold for a half decade now, he will be in that conversation.
He
I don't care what anybody says.
I'd say
he'll be in the conversation with Montana and Brady.
If you're talking about the guys that need it the most for their legacy, I think it is Rodgers. Yeah. I think Rodgers will be remembered as right now is remembered as a great passer, but a second Super Bowl win gets him as a great the greatest quarterback.
The NFL's different than the NBA, where you don't really count Lombardi trophies. I mean, they do a little bit, but
with QBs you do.
But once you get multiple, that's when
but
you enter the conversation.
Multiple.
That's the difference. I don't mean it's not like well Jordan's better than Kobe because it's 6 versus 5. I mean that's always just like the trump card. It always comes out. Well, if LeBron can get the 5, then it will be no question. In the NFL, once you win multiple, people seem to be comfortable having that conversation
it's
about
funny
you
to say
being
that.
The best player.
It's funny you say that because I feel like if Tom Brady were to lose either of these next two games, you know, he then becomes LeBron. Adjacent because first of all, Montana, I know it's exhausting the narratives, but this, you know, if you're trying to determine and sports fans, like most human beings are interested, not just in who's in the conversation, but making the list of who the best is.
And I understand that.
I love doing it. And if people don't like it, shame the devil.
I think it's like, what more do we need to know about Tom Brady? Like, does this really
change
everything?
Because Aaron Rodgers is plainly, your eyes tell you who's the better quarterback, right?
I completely agree with you on that. I don't think that whether he wins or loses these next two games really affects Brady.
I think it does. Maybe not right now, but don't be a prisoner of the moment. Think 10 years, 20 years from now. When you look back at the resumes and say, well, Joe Montana was clean. He went 4-0, and Tom Brady won 4, but he also lost 3. Yeah,
but he won every division championship for 13 straight years.
Getting to Super Bowls is worth something.
Yeah. And I'm with Harmon. I
don't disagree that it's worth size.
Yeah, but you don't get
But Jim Kelly's not in the
losing.
Conversation.
Right.
Nobody.
No.
When's the last time you heard Jim Kelly's name
involved
in the greatest?
That's a strong argument. He didn't.
But Dan Marino is. Dan Marino's in the conversation. Jim Kelly might not be, you'll still have people that will plant that flag, and Dan Marino is the greatest passer.
And that's why I said passer, because that's the difference, I think, now between Rodgers, who is a better passer even than Marino was, but maybe doesn't have the
Do
quarterback
you think
or
that
player.
Dan but I see it's funny. I disagree with you. But I've long perpetuated Dan Marino in the conversation. As I always will point out, John Elway, his getting to the Super Bowls with those three bum Broncos teams, those rosters were not good, and yet he carried those teams to Super Bowls and lost, and yet he's in the conversation because Terrell Davis delivered too late in Elway's career. That's the difference between Marino and Elway. However, right or wrong, Marino's already sliding out of that conversation. He's not always bringing him up anymore.
Well, the old men are. The old men are that had their eyes on him. I mean, and I get, like I said, I'm with Harmon. I just, I think this is where I separate from you is I don't care who's number one. I just like the idea of who gets to hang out at that table. I just like the idea that you can make the case for the player, you know, and I understand that Marino's not necessarily in it, but there's always that person that, well, listen, nobody threw a better ball than Marino. Guy threw the best ball that we've ever seen, and those were, like you said, bum teams around him, so I will go. Marino couldn't help it that he didn't have the supporting cast that these other guys did, but that's the best thrower I ever watched. I mean, you always get that
from
someone.
I dig that. I dig all that stuff. Now, let's talk about Seven Roethlisberger. If he gets to a Super Bowl, first of all, you say getting there matters. So if he has four appearances in 13 years, what if he were to win a Super Bowl? How would you possibly conjure an argument that says, yeah, he doesn't factor into the all-time great guy? He has to be top five QBs.
I don't know many people who are not making that argument. I think
people generally.
Yeah, especially if Lev Bell keeps doing what Lev Bell has done. And it is just a, you know, one of the greatest running back stretches that we have ever seen in NFL history. If it's another game like we've seen the last, whatever it's been, 10 weeks straight, you know, I mean, you think about Roethlisberger's Super Bowl resume and you look, and granted the victory over Arizona was something, but a lot of that was predicated on great defense, great running game, especially if it is again.
I almost think that actually helps his case for being a great quarterback, because I don't think it gets enough attention now. Just what an evolution his career has taken. Like, he was, you know, kind of that, what our colleague Bucky Brooks calls the trailer quarterback the first time he won the Super Bowl or was even in that era. Then you saw him become like a backyard style quarterback just flinging it around. But then, like, the last couple of years, he's been a really precise timing based quarterback that's run a whole system. And now he's kind of maybe back in that mode where he's being, you know, carried by a running game. And I think he should get a lot of credit for being a quarterback that's been able to evolve and change his style with what the team needs.
A pliable player. Not bad, Harmon. Not bad.
It is interesting, you know, to continue the NBA comparisons. I guess a little bit like Jordan or somebody who extends into the 30s, Jordan's game just completely took a right turn. Roethlisberger used to run around. People forget about it. He used to run all the time and really be much
possible to bring down.
Now he's impossible to bring down, but it's just heads. In the pocket.
Yeah.
Right.
So Rodgers wins this one. He certainly jumps. He just gets to this game. Does he jump Peyton Manning in your book, Matt Harmon?
I think Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
That's right.
Like, he just straight up watching. Nobody does what Aaron Rodgers does. And so I think so. I think if he wins, I mean, I think by the time all is said and done with his career, I think he'll be the best quarterback he's ever played.
But see, I think you're getting away from the more intriguing line of conversation when you moved off the Final Four. I mean, you're talking about Matt Ryan, who will be this season's MVP. So if he's the oddball in this conversation,
so this is
you've
number
got
one?
Two multiple, you know, Super Bowl winners, you know, two quarterbacks that have won multiple Super Bowls. You have pretty much what everybody acknowledges the best quarterback we've ever seen in Aaron Rodgers.
You have seven rings.
You put your eyeballs on him, and Aaron Rodgers is it. And now you've got the current regular season MVP, whose offense put up, what, 70 more points than any other offense in the league, with a dinged-up Julio Jones and a Taylor Gabriel and no tight end, except for, you know, Austin Hooper for a little stretch there.
Best deep passer in the NFL this year.
I mean, the only one that might – I mean, the 93 one is
I was just going to say
92 and
92 and 93 are really hard to get over.
93 goes Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Joe Montana, Jim Kelly.
That's pretty darn tough.
It wasn't 75. It's not listed here, but off the top of my head, I feel like 75 had Bradshaw v. Stabler, Staubach v. Tarkenton. Four Hall of Famers. That's going to be hard.
Again,
73 is pretty. 73 is decent as well.
With Greasy.
Greasy is the. Yeah.
Instead of Bradshaw.
All right. I mean, but, well, either way, like I say, QB legacies for some
high-end
QBs.
This one's really, really good.
This should be dandy. And I really do feel like, with the possible exception, like you mentioned, 26, although I don't think Le'Veon Bell wins this game for Pittsburgh. I think it's all – I really do think. We'll dig in on the game pick here, but I really do think –
because the Pats will take it away. I mean, that's –
I just think it's all –
they have to. If they don't, they'll lose.
That's,
if the Steelers are alive by Sunday night, it's because Roethlisberger has a gem of a game. All right, let's dig in. I mentioned – Ken Stabler. So that leads us to the Oakland Raiders, who it appears may now be the Las Vegas Raiders. Money, you're always insightful, especially with the California politics and everything else. Well, whatever angle you want to take. Go ahead. This is new news. Go
I would
ahead.
Say
Raiders in Vegas.
Fait accompli. I don't think there's any question that it happens. I mean, the city of Oakland, and anybody that's been to Oakland, I've been there a lot as of late, just for family stuff. But it is growing. I'm sure they would love to keep the Oakland market, because it is a burgeoning marketplace in terms of getting a lot of people to move back in that left. But at the same time, there is no money in California. We have a stadium being built in Los Angeles with all private funding. We had a voter rejection in San Diego. So what better way to kind of get the old traditional NFL model going than to get $750 million in public funds to help someone build a stadium? Clearly the big concern, and I don't think people recognize this, but and I hope it works for people listening, but I live in Long Beach. Las Vegas is the size of Long Beach. So when you think of Los Angeles and you think of L.A. and some in San Diego and or California and San Francisco and Oakland, I mean, Long Beach is a good-sized city, but I would never describe it as like a major metropolis. And you're going to drop an NFL franchise into Las Vegas, which is surrounded by nothing, you know?
But it's more and more the model that you see – by accident, really, with a lot of NFL game day experiences, which is that a third of the stadium is visiting fans, and Vegas is going to be – those games are going to be populated by –
and L.A. fans.
There'll
and
be a
they'll
lot
be populated
of
by L.A.
L.A. is an easy drive to get there,
a 40-minute flight.
Yeah, you're up in there and then you're back down.
And a lot of people, if you aren't hip to rooting interests in Southern California, a lot of people will tell you, even in 2017, the most beloved L.A. team is the Raiders.
And it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not close.
If they had moved here, then they would
But the point is that the sad irony for both the Rams and Chargers could be that while their games go or a game going on in Los Angeles, some Los Angeles-based football fans are going to be making the drive to Vegas.
I mean, let's just say they're in Vegas. I'm sorry to cut you off. Let's just say they're in Vegas this coming year. I mean, this year they play, I believe it's the NFC and AFC East. So you're a Giants, you're an Eagles. I mean, that's not the road trip game that you're going to.
I was going to say.
That's like the no-brainer.
I think they're really counting on it being one hell of an experience.
Yeah, they better. The interesting thing you say, if they're there this year to watch, is that we've never had this before in the league. There's a possibility that they will play in Oakland for at least another year before moving to Vegas. Maybe two. And that will be a very strange experience for a city of fans to say, well, we know you're out of here. What possibly makes you think that we'll
be like when Kiss
tickets.
Took the makeup off, like the black hole, they'll cut to them. They're just people in their street clothes.
we were talking about
shrugging the whole game. Whatever.
We're talking about exes before we got on the air here, and I think that's going to be like living 2 years with your ex after you said, hey, we're splitting up, but I'm like all me and my stuff are still going to be here. But not only that, I'm actually actively planning in the next 2 years to move into my dream house with my new one.
The one difference,
it could
though,
be a literal black hole where it sucked everyone into it. There's just nothing there anymore.
The one difference that the Raiders have going for them that the Chargers didn't, and anybody that went to a Charger game this year saw, the place was vacant. I mean, because of all, they were a bad team. And that happened at the Coliseum with the Rams in their inaugural season in L.A. The difference is the Raiders are good, and people will go see good football. So even if they are going to Las Vegas, if this is another 12 or 13 win team, you're still going to get that place to be full with
Raider agree,
fans.
But I as I guess a curmudgeon is why I'll say this. I really didn't like it when the Colorado Avalanche were really good. They could have won a Stanley Cup in Quebec in the Nordique blue. Instead, they move out to Colorado. The year they get there, they win the Stanley Cup. What were the local fans like? Yay, our team! Unsatisfying.
If
they win it in Vegas, I'm going to be really bummed for Oakland fans. And by the way, Bay Area football fans, all of a sudden
wait a minute
now.
Wait a minute now.
Five years later, all of a sudden, Bay Area football fans, the closest they can get to a pro football game is an hour's drive. That's
you live in Los Angeles. It's the AFC Championship game in Las Vegas, Nevada, and you are not going to go to that game, and you're not going to make a weekend out of it. You're not going to say, this is the greatest thing ever. And plus, the other thing that they're doing, and it's what we're going to experience here, and I'm telling you, my friends hate me because I think I'm one of the only people that has been chirping about this, probably because I'm one of the only people that cares about soccer in the sports media. So I've been to StubHub Center a million times to watch international friendlies or Galaxy games.
I've been there for Galaxy games, too.
That is going to be unreal.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going
–
to be unbelievable what it's going to be like to watch a football game in that stadium.
I think people that have not been there,
they don't
really
understand. They,
like,
really don't.
I tried to make that point on Twitter, like, when the move was first announced, and people responded like, "Well, what do you mean? How different is it going to be?" I'm like, guys, I cannot understand.
Different,
like,
than anything you have ever seen in your life. It is smaller than any college venue I've ever been to.
It would be fun to do that. Yeah, so, and by the way, that team's going to be good, too.
Exactly, and that's what the Raiders are talking about doing. Vegas is not going to be an 80,000-seat Jerry Dome. It's going to be a little. It's going to be a 50,000.
Really nice.
And 50's a lot more than 30, but I think this is going to kind of kickstart a trend.
This was a fun conversation. Yeah. This was a fun conversation until Money had to jump in on the soccer stuff. All right, let's start.
Let's go Spurs. Come on, you Spurs.
Yes, hi and hello. And welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, again presented by McDonald's McCafe. Well, fun enough conversation. You may notice I'm not 100% dialed in on what you guys are talking about. It's an important matter.
What's
it awaits my eyeballs, my heart.
What has you distracted?
My gut. Sunday, Foxborough. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Fandom.
New England Patriots. That's right, Matt Moore.
The emotions of a fan.
You know, I want to
get it
as soon as
overrated.
Dead inside.
We have a lot to discuss here, namely our game picks. But Money, I really do want to jump in with you. Let's not do it now, but I want to get your thoughts. About a week ago, a prominent sports radio host essentially conceded what people inside and relatively dialed in listeners already have known and have known for a decade that. You know, a lot of these prominent debate guys who do it on the radio or on one of the debate TV shows conjure their opinions for intrigue rather than truth. They're not trying to be right. They're just trying to take a minority opinion. Right. They're trying to stir the pot. And one of these prominent guys said, "I'm not trying. It's not about being right. It's about being intriguing." And to me, isn't that basically saying, like, yeah, I'm just WWE. I'm not real. I'm not. Don't take me for real. And if that's the case, then why listen or why watch?
I think it's one of the reasons why, and I guess I'm going to give you a little wash in here, wash you up, Sheck, because the things that you are impassioned about, you are. You know, when you're talking about a nice scrambled egg versus an over easy, I mean, you can see it. We can see it in your eyes. We can hear it in the tone of your voice. And then the response that you get from your guests that are part of your show, you'll hear it from them because it is something that is important to them. And I think there should be, and I don't think it's an innate ability. I think if you just pay close attention, you can tell when someone is sincere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'll be very defensive. You'll see them kind of clench their jaw a little bit, you know, if you're attacking their position. And you know, you watch those debate shows, and what do you see? You see guys in Ray-Ban aviators and $2,000 suits, you know, slinging opinions all over the place. And if you disagree with them, they're like, all right, whatever. Next topic, ding, move on. And I think that
just feels lame to me.
There is a lack of sincerity.
Yeah, yes. Right. If it just feels odd to me, then once you concede that, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
It's odd to me. Anywho, we'll talk about that in the offseason. We have months and months to fill.
They all suck. Sorry.
Meantime,
figure I'll put a
well said
Studio 66 loaded for bear here. Let's start off with the man whose voice you hear there. He is one half of the best radio show in all the land. AM 570 is how you check it out.
You Petros contributed to it the other day. A big thank you, Sheck, through the text.
I pointed out bosom buddies that Sonny, somebody wrongly said Tom Hanks played the character Sonny. No. Sonny was the girlfriend of Tom Hanks in that. The Fox, Donna Dixon, who I believe is still married to Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. And I think I killed Scolari, as a matter of fact. I was extremely wrong in Tom Hanks' co-star. And I was like, I think he's dead. I think he's been dead for a while. No, very much still alive.
Oh, and also, we want to keep tabs on that. Make sure you tune in. It's one of the great serials going in American pop culture right now. Matt Money Smith Garden Grove?
The City of Garden Grove.
Garden Grove with a parking ticket.
Precedent-setting case. A robot camera snapped me, allegedly, wrongly, making a right turn. Not a left turn, not blowing a red light, but a right turn on red. There was no sign that says no turn on red or anything like that. And my attorney, Sweet James Bergener, and I are going to take this all the way to the top, and we're going to try to get that robot cam torn down.
We are going to tear it down. All the robots.
Exactly. There's only a couple left in Southern California. This is one of them. So we are planting our flag.
I feel like this should be a 30 for 30 or something.
It could be.
I don't know.
Eventually.
Yes, but I'm shot dead on the steps of the courthouse. that'll be the perfect end.
Yeah, by a robot.
By a robot.
Obviously.
All right. Here he is, everybody. It's Matt Money Smith.
jar of that is Hank.
If you're a listener, we appreciate it.
I realize I got to zip this up.
Download on iTunes and all that.
I was wearing this shirt in that video.
If you want to take it to the next level, go ahead and look at NFL.com/DDFP and watch the DDFP, and you can see the music video that accompanies that. It features Cynthia Freeland and Handsome Hank, speaking of whom is seated to my immediate left. He's our resident Miami Dolphins fans. Sure, our fan. It was a magical season for you.
It was fun.
Considered. I
really enjoyed
it. You're building towards something. Couldn't get over the hump this year, but just the same, we're looking forward to another week in a Super Bowl city. We'll continue our culinary tour across.
We made our first booking. We should make more as well. Bernadine's.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Matt Money.
I always tag along.
Please do, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, here he is, everybody. It's Handsome Hank. He's handsome. Hello, handsome. How will you spend Championship Sunday?
I will be here in NFL media watching both games. I'm looking forward to it. I've kind of created a tradition that it's not official. We're 3 years in, but my son likes to come and watch Championship weekend or Championship Sunday with me in the office. So I may
do
that.
Very sweet. I
depending
like that.
Depending on whatever.
What TV? What monitor will you watch it on?
Which monitor?
Yeah.
I've got two in my office.
Okay, so you'll just sit in your office. Like, you won't go amongst
amongst the camaraderie.
You're bringing the boy, but then you're going to
sequester. That's what I mean. I thought that's kind of part of it.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, it has been in the past, but it's not like I'm going to, like, go from screen to screen.
Okay.
I'm doing what I do.
What are you doing? How will you be as a Steelers fan?
If I'm not there, if I'm not in attendance, which is my preferred way.
Is there still a chance you might attend Foxborough?
Fly to Foxborough? Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think it's just, you know, Coach Tomlin and the guys have worked awfully hard this past year. I think I owe them, at minimum, my undivided attention. Goodbye, world. I'm closing the blinds. I'm making it dark. Goodbye, children.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Out of the house.
Goodbye. Yeah, it's time to focus in. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to have my fun.
It's fine.
When it's time to get serious.
I know we're going to get deeper into this.
Yeah, we are going to get deeper into it.
But based on percentage chance of winning in your brain that you believe your team has, would you still take what is a 5.5-hour flight there, 6.5-hour flight home, knowing that that 6.5-hour flight home could have you sitting there lamenting a loss? Like, that, to me, the risk is so much higher than the reward, because you still have that 6.5-hour flight home even if they win.
Back in January of '02.
Yes, '02.
I jumped on a plane.
Got on that bird.
That's right.
Yeah. I did. Popped a bird.
Took a red eye to the banks of the Three Rivers to watch what was assumed at the time to be a coronation. An AFC coronation of the best team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They merely had to get through the upstart Patriots, who survived only on a wonky tuck rule call against the Oakland Raiders. Everybody knew what was going to happen there. I mean, listen, I knew there was a puncher's chance of what could happen there. I didn't know how I was going to walk out of the stadium 3.5 hours later. Heartbroken. Devastated. For his part, Cordell Stewart, I remember listening as I made my way back to the airport to return to Los Angeles on the 4.5-hour flight. I remember Cordell being interviewed and asked, Cordell, you're pretty upset about the result here. No, not at all. Sometimes the best team doesn't win. That was his sentiment. Well, guess what, Cordell? 65,000 other people were sick about it. 3 hours. Then I had – Wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, there's
I'm
more.
Sorry. There's more. Yeah. There's more. I forgot to mention, so confident was I in the Steelers going to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, Louisiana, that I had to pull some strings. Our mutual pal, Kimmel, was on Fox at the time doing his pregame picks. So he had some tickets in New Orleans, great seats.
I was there with him.
You were there as well?
I was there with him, as a matter of fact. It's one of the greatest. It is one of the greatest moments. Did you go?
I was there.
So yes, recall, because he pick the Patriots, which nobody did on Fox. And yes, right. I walked into the stadium with all you guys and all these Patriot fans. Jimmy might as well have been the mayor of Boston, how excited they were when they ended up winning, because he was the only guy that took the Patriots, speaking to what you were talking about earlier.
And that he was there, and he had to be watching his back at that time because Howie Long had mentioned that he wanted to murder Kimmel.
He did.
Wanted to murder Kimmel.
He did mention
and this was
the guys did not take Kimmel's humor
right as he
kindly.
Was transitioning out of doing stuff for Fox.
Yes.
So this was his last shot.
Yes.
He figured let's throw the Hail Mary here.
And they were a ton of haymakers.
And go with the Patriots. Cousin Sal, I'm pretty sure went the other way in that one. And I think he was very sad.
Yes, did not
because
go
I
well.
Was seated right next to him for that one. And I can attest that he was especially down in the dumps after that Steelers loss to the Patriots. So he figured, well, they won't do it again. That's all I'll say on that.
And a hell of an interaction with Phil Simms on that trip, by the way.
Well, there were many great things about that one. One that was not so great was on Super Bowl Sunday, we went to Crystal's, and in the middle of the day, we had a bunch of oysters, and
didn't sit well, huh?
Well, I made it through the game and everything else,
and then?
But then the next morning,
yeah.
In a hotel room with the diabolical Cousin Sal, the mixer of all mixers, you know, Cousin Sal from the Kimmel Show and so on. He's not just playing a character on that show.
That is him.
Yes, he constantly pokes and prods you. I always say he is the greatest coworker in America as long as you are not the target of it. Well, I threw on a food sick for the ages in a hotel room with Cousin Sal. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It was just the worst thing. But anyway, so I made my way and was forced to go to this game. I said, well, I'm not going. I'm not making the trip to New Orleans. The Steelers have lost. On the plane ride back to L.A., I wasn't going to go. I was forced into doing it. 3 years later, I summoned the courage, the guts, the grit.
To do it again.
To jump back on a plane. This time it was more in peril. It was the 15-1 Pittsburgh Steelers with rookie Ben Roethlisberger looking to defy history and become the first rookie QB to take his team to a Super Bowl against the looming dynasty, the New England Patriots, 13-3. It was 1 degree at kickoff. It didn't make a difference what the temperature was outside because I wasn't human anymore. I'll walk with a limp forever from that result. I thought that was going to be the one. They lost that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
What a tragic tale.
Now you know better.
Now it's time.
Now you can go to Sonny McLean's in Santa Monica and torment those Patriot fans.
Now it's time
wear your
for
Steelers
the Foxborough denizens to taste the bitter pill. All right, let's –
All right, sorry.
Here's also Matt Harmon.
Bit of a departure.
Let's say hello to Matt Harmon.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Matt.
Author of Reception Perception, one half of the Fantasy Hipsters. Big Dave Matthews fan.
Oh, beautiful.
We'll get you proper intro music.
I was going to say, all this intro music, all this talk of Super Bowl plans,
DMB.
Nothing I'm involved in.
All right. Hey, one quick request
Thank you for
here.
Cutting
Football
that, by
Baby
the way.
is continuing his tour. There are only 3 games left. Let's make sure he gets out to both stadiums this weekend. Go to @Damashek on Twitter. There you'll find the PDF of Football Baby. Make sure he gets into the stadium. Even Foxborough. He was all over Arrowhead on Sunday, and he came out unscathed. His picks are upcoming for you before the game, of course, on NFL.com and on Twitter. Let's move on now, though. Before we make our proper picks here, let's get to it here. We introduced her a week or two ago. We decided we needed a sideline reporter for this show. Why should they only be devoted to game action when NFL media, the campus here is crawling with football glitterati? So sideline reporter Savvy caught up with our pal, number 2-4, Ike Taylor, for a quick little session here.
All right, Dave, does this face look familiar to you? We're here with Ike Taylor in the green room, sideline Savvy here, asking the hitting questions. Out of the 4 quarterbacks left, who would you not want on your starting roster?
Who would I not want on my starting roster? So is Aaron Rodgers, Big Ben, Tom Brady. I don't want Matty Ice.
Explain yourself.
Why?
You don't want the MVP of 2016 on your roster.
So between the 4 guys, the 3 that I named, Tom Brady, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, are what champions?
They're Super Bowl champions.
Thank you.
All right. You heard it here. Ike Taylor in the green room. Back to you,
Dave. By the
way,
she's an Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, very big, right. Big call out there at the end. What a twist.
Very professional.
Sideline savvy, yes.
Ike is chewing. There's clearly a microphone that's not plugged in because it regularly drops, yet the audio is totally fine. A lot going on in that video
there. We don't need that sort of criticism.
Oh, I love it. It's great. All right, let's get to it now. We've been doing it since September. Let's round it out here. Well, we'll do them in Houston, but I don't know if I'll care by that point. It's time for the championship round edition of the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Yeah.
Woo. Woo. How exciting.
It's very exciting.
Wow. What an achievement.
Let's start it off with the early game here in Atlanta. The one that Sideline Savvy and Ike Taylor were just debating about here. Here we go. Matt Harmon, Packers. Falcons for the Super Bowl. Choose.
I am taking the Packers.
Two red flags thrown.
Is that right? Did I take
Matt Money Smith?
I think I did.
Handsome Hank. I'm going to stick with the Packers. I could go either way on this one. I don't know. This one feels like it. Well, listen, I'll let you talk about it.
Well, I should ride the Packers because I think I was on the island last week as the only one that took them. But here's my concern. We watched Dez Bryant win a 50-50 ball. We watched Ezekiel Elliott destroy that defense running the ball. We watched Dak Prescott after a miserable first half light him up despite an 18-point deficit, and it spoke to all of the things. That's why I didn't feel as good about my island pick and the Red Challenge Flag picks, because kind of what I said started to happen, and then what I predicted did not happen, which is the air would be let out of the Jerry Dome and the Cowboys would roll over. Instead, they rallied because of what everybody else had mentioned, and that's that defense is not good. That defense leaves a lot to be desired, and when you have the type of weapons that Atlanta has, I just get the feeling that this is going to be a shootout, and this time the Falcons are going to come out on the right side.
It's so easy when you have big offenses. Oh, this one's going to be a shootout. But, I mean, for real, I can't see any way around this one. And I don't think the one way that it isn't a high-scoring one is if Devontae Freeman gets off. But I just don't think that's going to be the way it goes down. I think that the Packers will be able to take him away to some degree at least, and it's just going to be about the two QBs shooting it out here. Handsome, how say you?
I don't agree that they will be able to take him away. I think between him and Tevin Coleman, I think they're going to get the running game going, and I think that will be the difference.
It's not a good defense in Green Bay right
now. Okay. It's not a good defense in Green Bay. And the Falcons defense, I think I've been saying this the whole season, I mean, getting behind the Falcons defense is a lot better than people assume it is. I think Aaron Rodgers never beaten a Dan Quinn led defense, which is something. And
something.
Obviously he's never been played at, hasn't been met them at that the level he's playing at now. But I think overall the Falcons defense has been underrated all season, continues to be, and I think they'll find ways to at least slow Rodgers down.
Well, I didn't take the Packers in Dallas for all the songs I sing about Rodgers because of the lack of Jordy Nelson, and obviously overcame that. And it's already, as much as people are celebrating Rodgers, we've already kind of forgotten that detail last week. That's what makes the Rodgers performance in Big D even more stunning.
Sure.
That he did it without his best guy. One more thing about that Dallas game. I said it earlier in the week, but I really do don't want the train to leave the station before we really talk about this. How crazy was it that Mike McCarthy went for a 56-yard field goal? I mean, if that's a crazy kick to attempt in that situation. I didn't think it was – I thought strategically it was loco. And if he misses it, the Cowboys basically have to make literally 10 yards in 90 seconds to win the game. I really was stunned by that. How much trouble – I don't know that they would, you know, get rid of McCarthy or anything else, but there was some of that noise, don't forget, 2.5 months ago. If they lose the game, that's a pretty – not just, I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight, boy, hanging onions and all that kind of stuff.
But as long of the year was 53, I think he had only attempted like two or three 50-plus yard field goals all season long. But Mason Crosby's, he's nails.
The guy
makes every playoff field goal you ask him to make. So I'm not saying it wasn't a bold move. It certainly was. It was 56 yards. But, I mean, I just think it's because of that defense. You just mentioned it. It made more sense than punting it away and not at least taking a shot at trying to get the lead.
Could you imagine the reaction if he had punted punted the ball in that situation. Right. That's just such a passive move. Like, oh, I would have been disgusted if he had punted it, quite frankly.
Really?
Yes.
I just felt
if
like
he had
gone for it. I thought, well, they're
especially,
not doing
this. But especially with the momentum the Cowboys offense had, it wouldn't feel like something where it's like,
that
well, I believe in my defense. Right. There's no reason.
Yeah, what do you, believe, what do you believe in? What it,
yeah.
All right. No, I just as he was trotting out there, I thought, well, they're not really going to try this now. This isn't the situation. Yeah. It's basically giving them the ball midfield if he misses it.
Pretty crazy. Right. We're talking about bold for Mike McCarthy is still kicking a field goal.
That's exactly right. That was also why it was surprising. All right. Matt Harmon, now dig in here, and we're going to do a little sub-segment within the Red Challenge Flag segment here.
Ooh.
You are the author, the creator of the Much Ballyhooed Reception Perception. You're working with Next Gen Stats as well to determine or already have the top 10 wide receivers in tight coverage. Lay it on us. What are your findings?
Right. So we've got 1 through 5 right there on the screen if you're watching. And number one, I think, is a surprise for a lot of people. Davante Adams leads the NFL with the best catch rate in tight coverage. You would not have said that in 2015 when all he did was drop a lot of passes. You also got Julio Jones at number 4. He's playing this weekend, too, in that same game. I think everybody kind of expects that. Another surprise might be Stephon Diggs at number 5. You know, he's a little dude. He's played a little bit in the slot, but I think he's a star in the making. And then, you know, 6 through 10, you've got Anquan Boldin, who I think we could probably just rename this metric the Boldin score.
What?
You know,
so what defines tight coverage?
So tight coverage.
Because I would think Antonio Brown's in double coverage every week. Des Bryant sees double coverage every week. How are they not on this list?
Well, we'll get to the Antonio Brown thing in a second. But what defines tight coverage for Next Gen Stats is when the receiver has less than a yard of separation from the defender covering him.
How much of it do you think is because some of the quarterbacks on that list, like Aaron Rodgers, are willing to make those throws where some quarterbacks would just look away?
And are more precise with those throws.
Right,
exactly.
Well, Rodgers, who you spoke of there, he has a 53% completion rate when throwing into tight windows.
Okay.
And that's the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right.
So that makes a huge difference. And I think you see Adams and Rodgers, it's a great example right there, that just – precise connection within tight coverage. So that makes a huge difference. There's a little bit of lap over. I also wrote the top 10 most aggressive quarterbacks throwing into tight coverage. There's a little bit of overlap between who's on that list and who's on this list as well. So there's definitely a quarterback and receiver relation there. But in terms of Antonio Brown, why he doesn't pop up on this, although he does have a 48.1 conversion rate there, which is above the league average, he's not one of the leaders because he gets a ton of separation all the time. I'm writing a piece today on the top 10 number one receivers that have the best separation scores, and he's number one on that list.
That kind of makes sense. All right, I
that's his
know.
Best
I,
skill.
Didn't have the
you
definition.
Upset you upset Dave by not.
I did Antonio not.
But then
upset
I we're bringing
all.
It back.
You brought
right,
it back.
Which
you
also,
managed to find the list.
But,
he is number one on.
So
the
part I legitimately would think Davante Adams, notwithstanding, that part of it is also that these aren't burner guys although Julio Jones is.
So some guys, obviously that's why you have a lot of different – you can't just look at one metric to evaluate a wide receiver's play in whole. There's this, obviously, skill where you win balls in contested situations, but there's also getting open. And some players like Julio Jones pop up in the top 10 on both lists, and that kind of shows you that they can do a little bit of everything.
Dez, to me, is still the number one contested ball, or however you want to call it, 50-50 ball or whatever.
Yeah, his 50-50 balls are 90-10 balls.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just that there's nobody better than him.
He and Dak got a lot
of credit. I always used to
that.
Say Megatron got a lot of credit, deservedly so, but I still would take Dez. If you said, like, you got one throw into the end zone, double cover, who are you going to take there? That would be the guy I would want there. All right, good stuff there, Harmon. And, I got this one. I think I had it 34-30. For the Packers, wouldn't be surprised at all to see the Falcons emerge victorious there. All right, let's move on to Foxborough. I'm going to give this one to Handsome Hank for the AFC title, the Pittsburgh
Dave,
Steelers.
I've thought
New
about
England
it.
Patriots. Please, may I do?
Yeah, you carry on. Can we cut that bit where I said words?
I'd like to,
Dave.
Can the proceedings have a little gravity to them,
yes,
please, Handsome?
Right,
do we have any NFL Films music that we can score this with? I want the whole thing scored.
Oh, jeez.
Sam Spence style. Handsome Hank, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the New England Patriots. Choose.
Dave, I'm going to take the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
Bow! All right, Matt Harmon threw red with me, too. I love it. Matt Harmon, you start. Tell us why Handsome Hank is wrong.
Wait, Money may want to throw a red.
I want to say before.
He took the Steelers.
No, I'm throwing two. I took the Steelers.
Wow, that's
is that right?
I did.
Oh, 3-1. That's
you don't
awesome.
Have to pander to.
These are close. These are tough picks, tough. Man. This was not easy. I right. labored
a lot
them.
Of meditation.
Also, I will admit that I picked the Steelers earlier in the week. So either way, I'm going
to. So you're hedging.
I'm surprised that 80% minimum of the so-called experts out there aren't picking the Patriots in this one. Harmon, explain why you're taking the Steelers.
I think this is close. Also,
it just came to me.
You know, this is going to be. In my opinion, we talked about the first one being a real heavy shootout. I think this ends up being a low-scoring game. And I like Pittsburgh a little bit better in there because of 26. Le'Veon Bell is playing at a level at the running back position that we haven't really seen in the last few years. And I really like him to lead this. I think, and if it comes down to a low-scoring game, I think I trust Pittsburgh's defense right now a little bit more than New England's.
Hmm. Boy, oh boy, I'm surprised by that analysis. Just it seems hard to depress the point totals of the Patriots. Seems like they don't play low scoring games.
I think
this
that
year. Even though they
could have last week, you know, had Brock not reminded us that he's Brock Osweiler and threw all those picks.
If Texas have a better quarterback, I think they win that game.
Yeah.
I think they would have won that game.
And for me, it's just basically it's confirmation bias because it was something that we talked about last week. You know, I said, yes, the Patriots are going to win, but they're going to get the crap kicked out of them. I mean, physically, they are going to be beat to hell. And that is going to have a carryover. And as someone that, you know, does some college football, I saw it and I knew it. As soon as I watched that Wisconsin-Ohio State game that went to overtime, that Ohio State won, I said, listen, they got to go to Happy Valley. They're going to play a physical Penn State team, and you will see a carryover effect because Wisconsin beat the snot out of Ohio State in that game. They are superior talent to Penn State, but they'll lose because they're just beat. And I know the Patriots get that extra day, but, man, did they get beat up by the Texans in that game.
I would normally agree with that. The Seahawks, the week after playing the Seahawks, that used to be a really –
carryover
stat to see how teams performed the following week, but I feel like it's at minimum offset by the
When's
fact that
the last
Steelers...
time you saw Tom Brady get hit like that.
I know, but the Steelers played in right cold middle, Arrowhead on Sunday night, and Le'Veon Bell in particular took a beating, and
yeah.
So I think it's a wash.
Okay, but if Tom Brady's not at let's say 80%. Now, how do you feel about LeGarrette Blount carrying the load for the Patriots?
You say confirmation bias. We did sit here a week ago and talk about the fact that that I think we all like the chances of Clowney and Merciless heating them up.
Yeah.
And so they did. I don't see the Steelers duplicating that.
James Harrison not going to do it again?
I don't know. I'm talking about inside pressure. I don't know what they're going to do, and they can't really – it's pick your poison, as they always say with Brady. But, you know, if you're trying to apply inside pressure on him, then you're taking a defender out of his line of sight.
Right.
Yeah.
You get edge pressure from Bud Dupree and you know, who's come
be
on
all
as
those
a player.
Three and five-step, get
gonna,
rid of it fast.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to match Deion Lewis. They're going to make Deion Lewis a matchup nightmare for those Steelers linebackers. I think that, to me, is the issue, is that the Patriots have always found ways to match themselves up well against the Steelers defense.
Yeah.
And the Steelers just do what they do, which is successful, but New England knows exactly what they're going to be facing when they,
I want to say all my analysis is blatantly colored.
No.
I refuse.
No.
I know Matt Money Smith and Matt Harmon and Handsome Hank and myriad others
Come
like
on.
To call me a homer and I can't see straight.
I don't call
oh,
you a
I
homer.
Oh, I see straight. I see straight, but not this week. I'm picking the Steelers. I believe me. In my gut, I can see why the Patriots
would win
this game.
Who would have thought Hank would be on Patriots
But there's
Island,
no way I'm going
right?
to say.
The Red Challenge flag picks.
There's no chance I would take the Patriots in this one. Listen, this is a tall
Nor
order.
Nor should you.
This is as tall an order as Roethlisberger has faced in his career. And really, it is the difference for him. He is going to the Hall of Fame. There are a lot of people. Ike Taylor sat here 2 days ago and explained in really compelling detail why the Belichick will take away the scariest weapon on the other team because of his particular running style, is that it's hard to scheme for. Willie McGinnis, I talked with him as well. He also sees that. In fact, he also was talking about the difficulty in matching up with Antonio Brown for specifically Malcolm Butler. All those details notwithstanding, Belichick will figure out how to not make 26.
Like he figured out how to make Peyton Manning beat him last year, you know, with the Bronco defense and a running game that had come alive in the last few weeks. I mean, you know, that's the thing. People forget. They're not infallible. I mean, the Ravens went in and beat them. The Broncos beat them last year. I mean, they've been beaten, you know.
They've been
overmatched.
I know, but I also know this. Here, I'm going to wake up and win with this thought. Roethlisberger is aware. We talked with him. Because I talked to him to 10 minutes doesn't mean I'm inside his head, but I talk with a lot of people who do know him better. And he's aware of his legacy. He is one of those guys who understands that the chips matter when his career resume is evaluated and all that. Well, certainly then he's aware that it all rides on his shoulder, on his right shoulder this weekend. I really do believe that.
I don't think that's the way for
really
them to win the game.
Listen, if they think we're just going to go up there and we're going to pound them with 26 all day, I just don't think that's that certainly.
But how many teams go insane? We're not going to let Le'Veon Bell beat us. The way you would beat the Steelers with as erratic as Ben Roethlisberger has been as of late is to stop 26. And what has happened? He has wrecked shop on each and every one of those teams.
Roethlisberger knows that
that's
the Patriots
good
and Tom
defense.
Brady have owned him. He knows that in his career, they have never, just as I always say, the Bengals can talk about rivalry with Pittsburgh and Baltimore all they want. Well, then beat one of those teams in a game of significance. Then we can have that conversation. Same way, Big Ben surely is aware of the fact that Tom Brady's Patriots have owned his Pittsburgh Steelers for the entirety of his career.
But you know what? But not in the playoffs. That's what's weird. Yeah. Like, these two teams have – what have they met? Once?
Once when Roethlisberger was a rookie.
That's it. I mean, that's the only playoff meeting they've ever had. I mean, that's what's so weird about it. That's just kind of a little wrinkle in this that I don't think people recognize. They just assume when they show that graphic, oh, the AFC's been represented by Brady, Manning, or Roethlisberger, 13 of the last 14 Super Bowls?
As much as I admire and glad Dick LeBeau, 80-year-old, is coming back for another season and all that – his great Blitzburg, the so-called exotic blitz packages and everything else, impossible to be exotic when you're created on the Ohio-Pennsylvania border. But either way.
Exotic Rust Belt.
He would refuse to get out of, I mean, what he wants to do. And obviously Tom Brady and company would.
That's a
just
bad matchup.
Yes.
Right. Spread him out. That's it. We're just going to spread you out. Solve that, Dick LeBeau. And he never would adjust to that. At minimum, Keith Butler at least gives them different looks and everything. That's, you know, so I think the defense maybe for Pittsburgh will it's hard for me to buy that Tom Brady isn't going to be able to psychologically defeat and strategically defeat the back end of the defense, Sean Davis and Artie Burns. He's going to turn Artie Burns, the rookie, around a few times, dupe him with some play action, so on and so forth.
While I think that Bell is the engine of what happens there this weekend, I think, you know, he has another big game. I agree with you. I don't think that Pittsburgh's going to let it, or New England, sorry, is going to let Pittsburgh use him to make big plays. I think in terms of who wins the game, I think it will be Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. And, you know, there's a lot coming into this with Antonio Brown about the Facebook Live thing and et cetera, et cetera. You know, Tomlin really came down on him hard in the press conference, and I think Brown knows that. But this team loves Antonio Brown. They want him to succeed, and I think that they will find ways to have him have the big game in this one. I think that's going to end up being a big part of this. And Malcolm Butler's a good corner, but I don't think he's one of the shutdown corners in the NFL, and I think those two will match up with each other plenty. And I think Brown comes away making the play that wins this game.
You know, I believe money is right, though.
How good is that Pats defense, though? Like, how do you really feel like that Pats defense is great?
No.
Okay, and you've got – so what's the better running back? I mean, I know you talk about Deion Lewis in the mid – you want Deion Lewis or you want Le'Veon Bell?
When does that ever matter?
No, but wait, just wait. Let's just go unit by unit. You know, I mean, you can make a case that the Pittsburgh defense is just as good, if not better, than the Pats. Now we go offensive line. Which offensive line would you rather have?
I think Pittsburgh's.
Exactly. All right. So now which running back would you rather have? Which number one wide receiver would you rather have? They don't have Gronk. I mean, you've got a Tom Brady, like I said, who got beat to hell against the Texans. Now, of course, we're taking him all day, every day, over Ben Roethlisberger. But when you lay it all out like that, it's not as lopsided a matchup as I think a lot of people are figuring just because of the Patriots' mystique.
I don't think anyone – I mean,
if it's just
it's
a single-game showdown,
right?
I mean, you can make a pretty compelling case for Pittsburgh.
It's funny that you say that because I talk about the mystique thing all the time and the human beings that gets in your head, whether you want to admit it or not, that it must be hard to be, especially in January, to look across the sideline and be like, oh, my God, there's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Right.
That has to happen to human beings. So whether or not the Steelers can shake that off, because Le'Veon Bell never fumbles, and the Steelers pass catchers as a whole are sure-handed. Is this the week where they start not doing what's in their character and that because of the mystique? I don't know. That's what worries me. That legitimately, that, you know, teams that play the Patriots, those things start happening to them. Why do they happen to them? You can make the – well, they do weird things with the footballs, or you can buy that the mystique is for real.
And what did Armin just say, 5 minutes ago? When I said, look, the Texans were in that thing for a quarter and a half, almost a full half, and you said
– they win that game.
They need
that
something game. To believe. It's not.
They Pittsburgh could win that game.
Pittsburgh needs something to believe.
And that Texans run game's been garbage. Their quarterback, garbage.
Right. They don't have an NFL offense.
That's so. And yet they were in that game.
It is 7 to Eli Rogers and the 81 and the 15 and those secondary pass catching options out there that win this game for Pittsburgh, or we get another.
I wish they still had Heath Miller. Yeah. You know, just Funny, for that one big
they basically
that he
do, just,
I know. Just
I don't think
different
the crowd
name.
Even
exactly.
knows.
His name's James.
I agree that the Texans nearly beat them, and I agree that they got beaten up a lot in that game. I just wonder if that actually doesn't help, because Belichick, you saw at the end of that game where other people on the Patriots sidelines were celebrating and having a great time and saying, we won a playoff game, and you saw on Belichick's face, it was like he's drilled them this week, and he's made sure that they understand that they did not play well when they beat the Texans. And that might just be the sort of wake-up call that the Patriots needed.
Well, it should be good. Let's hope it is good. I think we can all agree that what America wants is a black and gold Super Bowl, right?
I don't know about that.
You think people prefer?
I can agree with it. I don't want to.
You're talking about 120 million people. You know what I mean?
If we took a poll of which one they want to see,
just
I guess 12 v 12 for the
12 v 12 is what they want.
The crown of 21st century.
That's what they want.
I don't want the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Pat's
no, we have, really Pat's sorry, fatigue but, for certain, but that's if you
that's,
ask.
That's
I mean,
one that if we don't get to see it, that would be sad not in their careers and putting aside the fact that your team is in the championship.
There is no question.
Fair point.
The
be
majority
sad not
wants
to see those teams, those two teams play each other.
What's the worst one?
I don't know if there is a bad one.
I don't think there is a bad one. Honestly, I mean, like, if you want me to.
I think
it's
Falcons
be
Patriots.
It's going to be involving the Falcons.
If it's Falcons Patriots, because wouldn't you know, as soon as the second game ended on Sunday, this Sunday, you would just know, all right, we have 2 weeks of trying to delude ourselves into thinking this is going to be a game. There's
what?
No way.
No.
The Atlanta Falcons.
No. That's not it. I think it's just the
Falcons
on the Falcons.
If you had the Falcons going against the Patriots, I would – I mean, I don't know what I would bet, a tattoo or something, but there's – I mean, there's
– I like this.
I'm feeling this.
The Falcons would not beat the Patriots.
You know what?
I fell into that trap last week. I fell into that trap last week when I took Seattle. And watching that game, I recognized – my God, how do you stop this team?
Yeah, this is
I mean,
how do you stop this team? Every single one.
You'd have sat there and said the same thing when the Rams played the Patriots when this whole thing got started, and you'd have been wrong then. So I don't it could be the other end of that whole dynasty.
Look at that, completing the circle, handsome Hank. Either way, we're looking forward to going to Houston.
Well done,
I guess
Hank.
We have one more week.
Thanks.
Happy 40th, bud.
Here, yeah. Happy birthday to handsome Hank. Happy title game weekend. Drink it in, everybody. You only have then otherwise you have the festival of a Super Bowl. This is really your last proper Sunday of football for a long, long time. Enjoy it. Thanks to Matt Money Smith, Handsome Hank, Matt Harmon, everybody behind the glass. Make sure you tune in. Eternal Red Zone, 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday, and NFL Pick'em. We went by. We went too long. Now I'm still talking here. I don't care. NFL Pick'em, 8:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., 1:30 on Saturday. I'm not a pros pro. I never claimed to be. Well, I do all the time. All right. That's it for everybody. I think that we've said all there is to be said.
So
now we'll just sit here until the
Well, no. What about your sign-off line?
Well, I'm going to do it. Now I'm going to hit the post. Hey, everybody. It's been a thin slice of heaven. I missed
you were late again.
I was late again. Should we do it one more time?
No.
Let's do it right.
Oh, come
no?
on.
No. Okay. One more time. In the name of all that is just and holy.
He's going to miss it again.
Go get him, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Or he's going to be super early.
Give him what for. Until then, been a thin slice of heaven.